Good evening, Northern Pines. It is so good to be back with you. It's been 4 years, but you made us feel like family last time, so we could not wait to get back. We were so excited to be able to join you again. The topic that I want to speak to you about tonight is lay your burden down. And I'm going to be speaking from the passage in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. So I'm just going to start by reading that out. If you have your Bible or your device and you want to turn to that with me so we can dig into God's word together, let's start by reading that together. Then we'll get into the message. And then hopefully this remote will work as well. Not quite yet. I should have. That's not. Okay, there we go. There's the Bible. It's a good start already. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, when Dean spoke to me back at the start of this year, he told me a little bit from what he told you already this evening and what the pine nuts that you'll find for the next couple of days are. He said, what we've been praying over Michelle for this camp is that we would all be bearing with each other in love. And we'll be digging together through pine nuts in Colossians 3, if you've already had a chance to look at it today. And Paul also repeats himself in Ephesians 4 about what it looks like to bear with one another in love. I'll be looking at that tomorrow night. But as I was praying all through spring about Northern Pines, about April, I heard very clearly the Lord say to me, "Michelle, we can't bear with other people if you're already bearing so much on your own." And I was like, oh, that's true. And I know Dean said that this is one of the fullest children's programs you guys have ever had, so I assume many of you are parents or grandparents. We recently had another little one. It was hard resetting after 10 years, okay? I was not used to having a baby anymore. And who knows? It's true. When you're carrying a lot of stuff, someone tries to hand you one more thing, and even super parents can only carry so much. And I wonder what it was like getting here. Okay, we got here from Florida. We woke up at 4 this morning. We got the baby on the plane. And for the last 10 years until March, I had been traveling around the world speaking, and I could get 13 days of a trip to Singapore to India in carry-on luggage. I mean, I was a pro at it. Oh, no more. No more. I'm a little like this. I don't know if any of you are fans of Peppa Pig. I'm watching a lot of Peppa Pig right now because Zipporah, or Zippy, we like to call her, is 1.5, and she just loves Peppa. And recently I was watching an episode where Peppa's family goes on holiday to Italy. Doesn't that sound nice? A holiday to Italy. Not as nice as a holiday to Northern Pines, though, huh? Right? Okay, but as they're preparing, Daddy Pig says to Mommy Pig, he says, "Mommy Pig, are you sure you need all of that stuff?" And she goes, "Yes, yes, Daddy Pig. Everything I have, it's all very, very important." He goes, "Okay." And then Mr. Bull comes to their house, and Mr. Bull goes to pick up Mummy Pig's suitcase, and he goes, "Mummy Pig, are you sure you need all of this stuff?" And she goes, "Yes, yes, Mr. Bull, it's all very important for our holiday." And it gets to the next episode in the season. Yes, there's seasons of Peppa Pig. Okay, this is very important. And the episodes are only 5 minutes, so you can just tear through those things, okay? It gets to the next episode. They finally arrive in Italy. And Mummy Pig starts unpacking her suitcase filled with all of her important things. If you can have the sound on for this. And this is what Mummy Pig decides she needs to bring to Italy with her.
"What have you got in this bag, Mummy Pig?"
"It's all important stuff for our holiday. A lovely plant, our computer, tinned food, hot water bottles, some winter clothes in case it gets a bit chilly, the telephone."
Now, I pack a little bit more like Mummy Pig, and let's be honest, some of you packed like that for this week. I know some of you packed like this. But as I was watching this episode so clearly, I heard the Lord say to me, yes, he speaks through the everyday stuff like Peppa Pig, guys. You just got to be listening. I heard him say to me, why are you carrying so much? Why are you carrying so much? And the truth of the matter is I don't know what you've brought with you in your suitcases or just on your heart this week. But I know every single one of you have a story. Every single one of you have had a doozy of the last 2 years. I know we are all carrying things. And even those of us who are regularly putting ourselves before the Lord, in his word, praying, surrendering, we still hold on to so much. And I think we hold on to a lot because a lot of it is important. Maybe not the plant, you know, maybe not the, well, the telephone's pretty important to us. But a lot of things we carry are very important things. But if you get anything from tonight, I want you to be taking these two questions away, I believe, from the Lord. What are you carrying and why are you carrying so much? What are you carrying with you tonight and why are you carrying so much? And I believe that as we look at this passage, this beautiful and famous invitation from Jesus, we have an invitation from his heart to unload ourselves, to lay our burdens down. And the first way we do that is by his invitation that says, come to me. Let's see if my clicker is still working. If not, could you advance it to the next one? Come to me. In chapter 11, verses 25 through 28, but I want to focus in on 27. He says a couple really clear things. Jesus says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. And then he gives that famous invitation, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden. Now, I want to be honest. I can probably recite this passage in the dark. Asleep. I'm a pastor's daughter. I have been raised around the Bible. This is just like a great verse. We love it. But so many times I've glossed over what Jesus says ahead of time. So let me give you a little bit of the setting for this passage. This passage is a little bit scary, okay? John the Baptist has just been put into prison. Things are not going well at the start of this chapter. And then after that, Jesus basically starts calling out all of the towns that he's been to and done all of these signs. And he's saying, you're not believing. Woe to you. And it's getting really dark and really, really dreary. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turns and starts praying to the Father and says this beautiful invitation. But before he gives this invitation for us to lay our burdens down, he gives an incredible declaration about himself that we have to hook into if we really truly want to drop all of our burdens tonight. And what is this declaration about himself? He says, first in verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. What does that mean? Guess what? He is in control of all things. He is in control of everything. Everything you think you need, he's got it already. Every single thing you've been worried about and you just can't get your mind off of, he still is and always will be the answer. All of the things that you just can't handle anymore, guess what? He has already taken care of it. That song I grew up singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. That hasn't changed. And so I believe he's gently asking us again, so why are you still trying to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders when from the beginning of time, I've had the world in my hands? So after he says, hey, just a little reminder, all things have been given to me by the Father. I've got everything under control. Then he goes on to say, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Now, what does that mean? And why is that important for this invitation tonight for us to lay our burdens down? He's saying, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know if you truly can trust him enough with everything you've been carrying, if you want to know who you're coming to, then all you have to do is look at me. I have brought God to you. Now, this was illustrated to me probably best. Here's another little story from Sophia, those of you guys who were here 4 years ago. She teaches me so much about the Lord, always has, always will. We lived in England for 13 years. We moved back to the States in 2015, and there was this chain restaurant. Let's see if my thing remote's still working. This chain restaurant called Giraffe that's well-known in the UK, and it had like global ethnic cuisine. You could get everything from a great Thai curry to a wonderful Spanish tapa. And when we walked in, this was the mural in Oxford that was on the wall, and she was 3 years old when we first walked there, and they come bringing us to the table, and she walked straight up to this picture, to that man in the picture, and she went, "Oh, hi, Jesus," really loud. Now, in England, no one's loud, okay? And now I've got this little blonde girl waving at Jesus on the picture there in front of everyone, and they're all just kind of looking like, what has they done to this child, and who is she? I have no clue why she thought that was Jesus, but as I begin to think of it, I think it's something about his inviting smile. I think that he's warm. I think that he's easily approachable. But what this always reminds me of is that a lot of times we've got God wrong. Jesus came to show us who the Father was. You know, that is incredible. In every other religion you could ever study, and I've studied a lot of them, any other places, they always tell you, this is what you have to do to get to God. Or if people have given up on religion these days, let's be honest. So the new religion is, you know what, if you want to get your heavy burden off, this is what you have to do to get rid of your load. But Jesus flips everything on his head because he goes, guess what? You couldn't find your way to God. You couldn't get rid of your burden on your own. So I brought God straight to you. Every other religion says, go. Jesus, the living God, opens his arms and says to our weary hearts, I'm right here. Come on in. Come on in. He's the perfect revelation of the Father. He has brought God to us, and he is still in control of everything. And it's only after he declares these things, hey guys, the Father's given me all things. I've got everything under control. And if you want to know that you can trust the Father, guess what? I've brought the Father to you. Then, after this beautiful and incredible declaration, he gives this winsome invitation. Come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary. All of you who are carrying too much. And I had a professor who died a couple of years ago in Oxford. His name was Michael Green, and he used to put it this way. The revelation and the rescue belong together with Jesus. The revelation and the rescue belong together. And you know, back to that picture of Mummy Pig and maybe some of our hearts, there's a lot of different reasons why we hang on to our baggage. For most of us, we think we can't live without it. And actually, we've maybe made an idol or made God out of all of these important things that we carry with us. And so we're not looking for rescue anymore because we're so busy being God ourselves, carrying the weight of the world, or looking to all the things we're carrying to save us, that we have forgotten that we desperately need rescue from someone other than ourselves or something other than all these things that we've been using to survive or thinking that we're making us thrive. Another reason we hang on to so much baggage is that actually at some point we've amassed so much and it's gotten so big that we start to think, actually, I don't think anybody can help me anymore. I'm in too deep. I'm spinning too many plates. There is no one that can save me from this. And once again, modern culture says, look within yourself, you're enough. Dig a little deeper, pull yourselves up a little higher, squat a little harder, you can handle it. Get those shoulders back. Or other religions say, this is what you have to do to get help. But again, Jesus changes everything. He sees the burden. He knows what we're carrying. And what I love about Jesus is he doesn't say, hey, suck it up. You're tired? I made the world in 7 days. I'm about to go to the cross. You know, I have a family member. I love him dearly. But if you ever say you're tired to him, he's like, suck it up. Oh, you younger generation, you don't know what it is to be tired. You don't know what it is. And yes, I know it's true in some ways. That family member, I respect him, and he has done so much for us. But I love that Jesus doesn't look at us when he has all of the excuses in the world to say, you're tired. He says, I know you're tired. It's okay. It's okay. Come to me. And guess what? You don't have to do anything to get rest. He opens his arms of love and says, I can handle this. I'm God. I'm here for you. It's a universal invitation. That means everyone who's weary, everyone who's burnt out, everyone who's carrying too much can come. No one is left out. But accepting his invitation takes an admission of need, and the acknowledgement that he is God. And so tonight, wherever you're at, God has brought you to this camp for a week. Whatever you have been carrying, it's time to lay your burden down. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to prepare and control for every possible scenario. I am that person. It never works out. There will always be something that you have forgotten about, okay? But God has come to us, and he's here even now through the power of his Holy Spirit. Will you let him rescue you? What are you waiting for? So the first thing we have to do to answer the question, what are you carrying and why are you holding on to so much? If you want to lay it down, is you have to come to him. What's the next thing that Jesus tells us? Take my yoke. In verse 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now, I think it's really interesting that this invitation that Jesus gives, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest, is then followed up by take my yoke. How can that make sense? Why would we want to put down one burden if we're tired and then pick up something else and put it around our neck? Well, let's dig into this just a little bit. Most Bible studies will tell you that this passage is actually Jesus making a specific reference and calling out the religious people of the day that always talked about having the yoke of the law on themselves and putting the yoke of the law on other people. In fact, later on in the same book, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, Jesus talks about the religious leaders. He says, they tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear. They lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to even move them with a finger. And so I believe that we have to be careful, even in accepting Jesus' burdens, because sometimes some of us are wired with that thing of, okay, I want to lay my burden down. What do I have to do, Jesus? What else do I have to do to get this burden off my shoulders? But Jesus says, come to me and take my yoke. What does it mean to take the yoke of Jesus? And why is it different than every other religion, or maybe even some forms of Christianity that I practiced from a couple years? It was do a couple more things and then you'll get free. How do we trade one burden for Jesus, and why would we want his? Because his invitation, take my yoke, is followed by these beautiful words, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. What does Jesus mean there? Again, he's showing us his true heart. And think about it. Of all the ways that the creator of the universe, God himself, could describe himself and could choose to reveal himself and prove who he was, he uses the words gentle and lowly. Really? Of all of the ways that the God of the universe could have shown up in history to make himself known, he chooses a baby, the most humble, most fragile, most vulnerable form of humanity that he could come in. And in all of the ways to rescue us, he chooses to sacrifice his own life. The invitation, come, is followed by take my yoke. But the take my yoke comes with Jesus bearing his heart to us. He says, take my yoke and learn from me. Trust me. Believe that I came to set the world right again. Now, this invitation to lay our burden down but then pick up Jesus' yoke is an invitation for us to trust that he is enough. It's an invitation into a living, active relationship with a real God. It's a call to follow, to serve him, and to learn from him. But in order to say yes, you have to let go of what you're already holding on to. And that's back to what I felt the Lord told me when he led me to this passage preparing for this week. If we're gonna bear with other people, if we're gonna fulfill the call of what it means to be children of the living God, we can't have our hands full with all of our own stuff. We have to have his yoke in our hands and what he has on offer for us. And you know, if you do a study in the New Testament of the word yoke, yes, I grew up, like I said, in a pastor's family, and I promise you, probably till I was about 8, I think I thought that people were talking about eggs there, taking my yoke. It's not an egg, okay? It's not an egg. If you do a word study on it, it not only shows you that it's not an egg, But yoke actually signifies either bondage to something or submission to authority. Bondage to something or submission to authority of some kind. Now, I grew up with a British, I don't know why this is ringing suddenly, maybe I'll stop moving. I grew up with a British evangelist that used to come through our church about once or twice a year. And he had this book called Jacko the Baboon. And I read it a lot as a kid. And in this book, Jacko has this war with a farmer, and he's always trying to steal his stuff. But at the end of it, Jacko actually gets caught. And do you know how he gets caught? It's actually a normal story. This is how you could actually catch a real monkey. Jacko gets caught because the farmer drills a hole in the pumpkin that he loved so much, just big enough for Jacko to get his hand in. And Jacko grasped those yummy pumpkin seeds. Now, I love pumpkin seeds, so I'm a little sympathetic with Jacko here, okay? But even though he could see the farmer coming to capture him, what he wanted and what he had in his hand was so dear to him that he wouldn't let it go to have freedom. He wasn't actually in jail. He just had to let go of what he already had in his hand to be free. And we can either live in bondage to all those important things that we carry, all those good things, many of them that God himself has blessed us with, our children, our jobs, our callings, our talents, but we can live in bondage to those things unless we live in submission to Jesus Christ. And this is the yoke that Jesus is offering us forever, but especially tonight, and I believe at the beginning of this week, I think he has many things for us in all of the different things, all of the different things on offer, the teaching, but I think he has many things for us just in fellowship with one another this week. He's saying, I have something for me, for you, but will you take my yoke? And if you're gonna take my yoke, if you're gonna submit to me, you have to have your hands free. You have to let go of everything else. And you know what? I would rather live in submission to him, even if it means letting go of the things that I find dearest to me, than in bondage to something else. Come to me, take my yoke, and finally, you will find rest. You will find rest. If you could advance it for me, because I think my remote is dead. So in the final verses of this passage, in verses 29 and 30, it says, you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now you see, the rest that Jesus offers us already as we have dug into these verses and I've underlined them again and again is different, actually really different than the rest we tend to envision for ourselves, at least the rest that I tend to envision for myself. I tend to think of nothing to do, of total freedom, of my feet up on the beach, feeling the sun, and even making my husband play with the kids. I already talked to someone about that. Just nothing to do. That is the type of rest I think of. But the rest that Jesus offers us, and even the lifting of our burdens that he is inviting us to, is different than that. It's not the absence of activity or a vacation from reality. I'm sorry. His yoke is one of partnership, and that's what makes it light, and that's what makes it easy. Now, if you look up the word easy, again, do a word study, a better translation is actually kind. Isn't that beautiful? His yoke is kind. Now, I am not a farmer, but when you think of a yoke of oxen, right? It's two huge, strong beasts carrying something together. But we find rest because when we lay our burden down and we choose to submit to picking up a different burden, the yoke of the Lord, it's not two strong beast oxen. It's little weak us and the God of the universe yoked to us on the other side going, I'll carry you. I've got this. It's completely different. And actually, as you dig into this passage, this word study, most commentators will link it to the same promise that Moses is given while the people of Israel are led into the wilderness just after the Exodus in Exodus chapter 33, 14. Now, they have just had this incredible deliverance, right? They've been saved from Pharaoh. And then where do you find Moses? On a mountain saying, Lord, what am I going to do with all these people? I cannot do this. Help me. And if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Show me your ways. And what does the Lord say to Moses? He says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Moses had a hard couple of decades ahead of him, doesn't it? If you read through Exodus, it doesn't seem like rest. But what the Father promises our hearts, what Jesus says to his disciples and to us as his disciples today, is the same as what Yahweh said to Moses. If you take my yoke, if you let go of everything else you're carrying, yes, yes, you'll be carrying something, but my presence, my partnership, my relationship goes beside you, and I will give you rest, a soul rest. It's actually the biblical idea of rest or Sabbath. A better word or couple of thoughts might be more of a refreshing, active recovery, those of you who might lift weights or do something like that, where you're still kind of moving, but you're changing up the movement that you have been doing. It's relief. It's a rest for your soul that enables you to continue all that you are called to do, and to do it with renewed energy, to do it with better purpose, strength, and dare I say, even joy. Why joy? Because the maker of the universe has invited you to partner with him in something. It's a little bit like my Zippy. Okay, she's 18 months old and she thinks she can cook. Scary. I'm always sure there's gonna be a finger missing, okay? And we have this little stool from IKEA. It's about the size of her, but she thinks she's a power lifter and she grabs it and tries to scrape it across the floor and she struggles so much. But when I look at her and I go, wanna help mommy cook? She can't talk yet. She just gets this big smile and she shakes her head like this and I pull her up next to me. Yeah. Basically, I'm enlisting child labor, okay? And let's be honest, it makes what would be a 30-minute meal a mess of my kitchen and about an hour worth of activity, right? But it's not work to her. It's joy. It's incredible. It's easy. It's light. She's learning, and she feels special. She feels happy. And that's what the Lord is calling us to. What are you carrying? I don't know what you're carrying. I don't know what you've been through. I'm sure you have good reasons to carry all of it. But the Lord is saying tonight through his word, will you come to me? Will you lay it down? Will you trust that I have it all under control? And once you lay it down, will you pick up what I have for you? I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you, is the way that the Message translation puts it. Will you learn the unforced rhythms of my grace? The other way that the Message translation puts it. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, and you will find rest for your souls. I believe he wants to relive our dreams. He wants to give us new dreams. He wants to refresh us. He wants to fill us and refuel us this week. But all we have to do is admit that we're not God, that we need his help, and to invite him. And actually, we don't even have to invite him. We have to say yes to his invitation. He's asked us. So I believe that the worship team is going to come now. I just would like to say a prayer. I think it's perfect that we're going into worship now because I think that that's how the Lord wants us to respond. You know what you need to lay down. I can't make you lay it down, but you can talk to God during this time. Let me just say a prayer, a blessing over us. And then as we worship, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and let you know what you need to let go. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're real. We thank you that Jesus showed us that you're alive and that we can trust your character. I thank you that you have all things in your hands. And I thank you that you invite us to lay everything down, to learn from you and pick up your yoke, and that you will give us rest. So Holy Spirit, illuminate the things that we're holding on to. Let us lay them at your feet tonight. And fill us with your fresh infilling so that we can go on to everything that you've called us to. In your precious name, amen. In your precious name, amen.